It's hard to understand God's work, isn't it? Many times we don't see how God works in our heart. But more difficult, it's very hard to see how God works in other people's life. It's even more difficult to see how God is working outside this country, thousands of miles away from us. Sometimes we consider it's just a mystery. It is indeed a mystery of God's work. I came from China, so I just use China as an example. As an example of God's work in missions. For about 5,000 years in the history of China, Christianity barely made any impact. It came and it went away. It came again and it went away. Until about 200 years ago. Now the Western world started to send thousands and thousands of missionaries to China. I think you've heard the name of Hudson Taylor, right? He is probably the most famous missionary in the 19th century. He founded the China Inland Mission. For about a period of 100 years, there were over 6,000 missionaries went to China and preached the gospel, shared the gospel, and many of them poured out their lives, and they died in China. Just as people thought the gospel finally started to take roots in China, now we all know Communist Party took over in the 1950s, and then the door was closed. And people thought, what happened? What happened to God's work? Hudson Taylor himself, he died in China. He was buried with his wife and four young children. They died at a very young age. In the 1960s, the cemetery for Hudson Taylor and then other Western missionaries was completely destroyed. They built a factory building on top of the cemetery, completely covered. Just like people thought the gospel was buried underground. But you never know how God will work. You don't know. 50 years later, if you go to China now, the gospel is being shared across the whole country. The fire seems to be quenched 50 years ago. Start up again. Like the wild fire spread all over the country. This past March, that building sitting on top of Hudson Taylor's tomb was demolished. And miraculously, they found the tomb of Hudson Taylor and his family. It was still intact. And they found a tombstone. And these words were engraved on the tombstone. Although I die, by faith I will speak. Although I died, by faith, I will speak. Isn't that amazing? The Christianity, our faith in Jesus Christ, is based on the living word of our God. God was speaking. God is speaking. And God will continue to speak. Many times, it doesn't seem like people are hearing. It doesn't seem that people understand. But God still speaks. This is the God we believe. This is the word He speaks to us. What does God speak to us today? Through the passage you just heard. Let's take a look again. What God speaks to us today. Please turn your Bible to Romans, the book of Romans, in chapter 15. The verses 14 through 21. I have 3 points to share with you. A small reminder, and a big promise, and a desire. A small reminder from the apostle, a big promise from God, and a desire from our heart. So the first, a small reminder. Let's look at verse 15. But on some points, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder. Apostle Paul, he doesn't tell us exactly what this reminder is about. What's the content of this reminder? And we have to dig a little deeper, and then from the context of this passage, to find out what this reminder is. And it has to be something about the central meaning of this passage. And as we read through the passage, and if we go a little before, if you look from verses 9 through 12, there is a word stands out, comes up again and again. Let's read it. Verse 9. And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Verse 10. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And verse 11. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol Him. Verse 12. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. Now, what do you see? The word comes up again and again, again. This word comes up 6 times in these 4 verses. This is the word Gentiles. This word is a little strange word, right? Do we use it, you know, in our daily conversations? I guess probably not, right? We don't use Gentiles. It's probably you only read it from the Bible. Yeah. But what does that mean, Gentiles? I find the way it's easier for me to understand as a foreigner, not a native English speaker. I think the foreigners, this word is easier for me to understand what Gentile is. The foreigners, not necessarily just the foreigners from another country. It's the foreigners with a different culture. Foreigners with a different language. They speak a different language. Foreigners probably with a different ethnicity, with a different skin color. These are the foreigners. Just as Pastor Cody often says, these are the peoples that the peoples we need to share the gospel with. And these are the foreigners. The foreigners are the focus of this passage. Well, this is just one sense of this word, Gentiles, the foreigners. But there is another sense. Another sense, the heavenly sense. These are the foreigners outside of the kingdom of God. They haven't heard the gospel. They didn't get the chance to believe in Jesus Christ, to be the citizen of God's kingdom. These are the foreigners that is on the heart of the Apostle Paul. And this is the word. This is the center of the passage. The missions to the foreigners. The missions to the peoples. This is the small reminder Paul is telling us today. Don't forget these foreigners. Yeah, Paul is not saying these believers in the big city of Rome, they are not good. On the contrary, in verse 14, you've seen, I myself believed. You are very good. You are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able to instruct each other. Paul genuinely believed these are a group of good believers. Whenever you see Bible, use words of the same meaning. I, myself, you, yourself. It means emphasis. Means I, myself, I truly believe you are good. You are full of good. You, yourself, you are good. You are filled with knowledge. You are able to instruct each other. But on some points, I want to remind you, not because you are not doing it, I want to remind you, don't forget, there are other foreigners. They haven't heard the gospel. There are foreigners. God wants you to share the gospel with them. This is the small reminder. This is the heart of Apostle Paul on the missions. He himself says in verse 24 and 28, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain. In chapter 1, he says, I long to see you. I pray so many times. I want to go to you. I want to go to you. I want to see you. But he says here, not only I want to see you, as I go to see you, I want to pass you. I want to see other people, these foreigners where? In Spain. And on my way to Spain, I want to be helped there by you. Once I have enjoyed your company for a while, sometimes we feel we enjoy the fellowship among the brothers and sisters, enjoying the fellowship with the believers. This is very precious. When we have the genuine fellowship among the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we are encouraged. We are being taught. We are being taught. We are being reminded. But that is not enough. Paul said, there is a greater joy. There's a greater joy when we go out to the foreigners, bring the good news to them. So that's why Paul says, yeah, I want to see you. I want to see you, but I want to go to Spain. And I will leave for Spain by way of you. By way of you means with your support, with your help. There's no missionary can go by themselves with their own strength, with their own support. Even Apostle Paul, he needed help. He needed help from these believers from Rome. And oftentimes, we don't need a big reminder. It's just a small reminder. On some points, I've written to you very boldly by way of reminder. The small reminder on missions to share the gospel to the foreigners. This is a reminder given to the good believers in Rome, reminding them, don't forget the foreigners. So that foreigners will have hope in God. So they will praise God together with us and rejoice in God with us. But God just not just give us a small reminder through Paul. God gave us a big promise. And that's why Paul wants to share with the believers in Rome this small reminder. This small reminder is small. Compared to what? Compared to a big promise from God. Now let's look at verse 21. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is a quote from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 52, verse 15. That's the end of the book of Isaiah. If you turn to the book of Isaiah with me, and let's find out, who are these people? Who are these people who have never been told will see? Who are these people who have never heard will understand what they will see and what they will understand? So if you turn to the book of Isaiah 52, you know, this is the end of the book 52, right before Isaiah 53. If you know your Bible, you know this Isaiah 53 is the famous book of the suffering Messiah. The suffering Messiah. Now let's look at verse 15. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see. And that which they have not heard, they understand. So, who are these people? Now, in book of Isaiah, we can see a little better, little clearer, these people. It says in the beginning of the verse, he shall sprinkle them, these many nations. These are the foreigners. These are the foreigners never heard of the gospel. They will see. And they will understand. But what will they see? What will they understand? Let's look at verse 13. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. This is the suffering servant. This is the suffering Messiah. He will be high and lifted up. And these foreigners will see. We'll see him, the suffering Messiah, we know, Jesus Christ. They will see. And let's look, verse 10. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, all the foreigners, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the big promise. All the ends of the earth, all the nations shall see Jesus Christ being raised up, and they shall see the salvation through him. This is the promise from our God. When Jesus suffered on a cross, he died for our sin and he lived again. This is the salvation for us and for these foreigners, for all the nations. But how? How does God fulfill his own promise? How shall these foreigners will see the salvation of Jesus Christ and will understand it? How does Paul tell us? Now let's turn back to the book of Romans 15. Turn back to the passage. And let's look at the verses between 15 and 19. This is Paul's own testimony, how God's will is fulfilled through him and through his work. Verses 15. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. So how is God's will fulfilled? How is God's promise that all these foreigners will hear, will see, will understand? Yeah, on one hand, it's through Paul's work. It's through a servant. Here in verse 16, he says, to be a minister of Christ. A minister here, that doesn't mean only the pastors, the elders, or the deacons. A minister, this word here means servant. Yes, we are the children of our God, but we are also servants to our Lord. Every one of us, we are the servant. We are the minister of Christ Jesus to the foreigners in the priestly service of the gospel of God. And this is not by our works. It says in verse 15, it's because of grace given me, given to us, because of the grace given to us by God, we are the minister of Jesus Christ. Not only that, it says, in Christ Jesus, not in our work. It's not in us. In Christ Jesus. Then, I have a reason to be proud of my work for God. In Christ Jesus, we have a reason. Yes, we have a reason to be proud of God's work through us. But it's not for us. It's for Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ we can be proud of the work by the grace of God through us. So Paul says, he will not venture to speak of anything, nothing except what Christ has accomplished through him to bring these foreigners to obedience by the word of deed, by the power of signs and wonders. By what? By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God, so that he has fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. So the promise of God is fulfilled by what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't we want to know how to use the power, how to be used by the Holy Spirit, how to be used by God with the power of Holy Spirit? Many times we feel, I just want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? I just want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that I will do God's will, so that I can share the gospel boldly to the foreigners, to those people who have never heard of the gospels. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we struggle because the work is not easy, right? It is difficult. It is very, very difficult. Even in this country, you try to share the gospel with your neighbors, with your friends, with your co-workers. Is it easy? It is not. It is not. It is even more difficult if you're trying to do it by your power. If you think this is your work to do, yes, I want to convert this person. I want to convert this friend. I want to convert this coworker. It's going to be extremely hard. But what is the secret of Paul? What is the key for the power of the Holy Spirit to work? Do you all want to know what it is? Well, the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not easy to explain. I just want to show you in one verse in this passage, Paul showed us his key, how the Holy Spirit works through him. Let's look at verse 20. And thus, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel. I just stop here. And thus, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel. Ambition. Ambition in today sometimes carries a negative tone. Sometimes we feel ambition means it's a selfish desire for personal gain. But in the original Greek, original word, this ambition, it's an honorable desire. An honorable desire. Paul says, I have this honorable desire. I want to preach the gospel. This is the key. This is the bridge between the small reminder to the big promise of God. An honorable desire. Desire to do God's work, not our work. Sometimes we feel burdened because we feel it's our responsibility for the results of our work. No! It's not our responsibility. It is God's responsibility. But it is our responsibility to have this desire to be part, to be the instrument by God to share the gospel. If we have the desire to share the gospel, God is responsible for the results. Don't let the results hamper your desire. As I said earlier at the beginning, it's a mystery how God works. Sometimes we may never see the results of the work, but God is working. It's the desire from the heart that God reminded us how His promise is going to be fulfilled. I have a classmate at a seminary. He was a college basketball player. So he has a son, you know, when he was only 2 years old. And he probably had a gene of his father. And one day, my classmate brought him to a playground. You know, there are monkey bars there. And he couldn't speak. He point to the monkey bar. I want to climb on it. And then, you know, everybody knows, you know, two-year-old boy probably, you know, can, you know, climb on the monkey bars. So what does he do? You know, he lifted him up. All right, so he reached out to the first one, you know, all right. He moves a little further. He reached out to the next one. And then he moves further. And then one by one, you know, sometimes he got tired, you know, take a break. Yeah, but, you know, he reached to the next one, reached to the next one. And in the end, he crossed it over, right? Now I ask you, you know, who crossed the monkey bar? Is it a boy? Well, yes and no, right? You know, by himself, he could not go cross the monkey bar. But is his father? No. He himself, he's not crossing it, right? But he's holding him. He's holding his son. He's with him all the time. When he was tired, he still holds him. He still holds him. This is how God works in our lives. We are that baby. Our God wants us to have a childlike desire. Yes, you can cross over. Yes, you can share the gospel with these foreigners. As long as you have that desire, reach out your hand. I will bring you over. Reach out to the next bar. I will carry you over. This is how God works in us. This is how the Holy Spirit works in us, by the desire of our heart. So, when Communist Party took over in China since 1950s, there were about 30 years China closed its door. But miraculously, about 30 years ago, from early 1980s, China opened its door again to the world. Well, not many could travel to China, but there were Chinese people coming out of the country. And many of them are visiting scholars. My father came to the United States 30 years ago as a visiting scholar in Minnesota, the University of Minnesota. And then he met some Christian friends. There was a Christian lady. Loved him so much as a friend. She gave him a Chinese Bible. And then she drove him to church on Sundays and taught him English using the Bible. But I don't think my father professed any faith during that 1 year visiting. He went back to China. So from time to time, he wrote a Christmas card and continued a few years later. And then I think the last one was written in 1990, and then it stopped. I don't think that lady knew what happened to my father. She probably never knew. And my father was diagnosed with cancer. And in 1992, he passed away. But before he passed away, he told my mother, "I want Jesus. I want Jesus." I don't know how. Maybe that was through the time when they study the Bible together. Maybe that's through the words she wrote on this Bible. And she says, "To our dear friends, this book has provided us with much strength and encouragement. There is hope to face the next day. We pray that the words within these pages will bring great help to you. You will meet a very precious friend of ours, and his name is Jesus. She never knew what happened to my father. She probably never heard him show any sign of faith in Jesus Christ. But God is working. God is speaking. God spoke to my father. God speaks to me every day when I see this Bible. And today I'm preaching his word. Isn't that a miracle? Don't be discouraged for what you do today. Don't be discouraged that you never see a conversion. Don't be discouraged when you share the gospel, when you give some friend the word of God. You just don't know how God works, because it's a mystery. What you do know is God gave us this reminder. God gave us this promise. What he asked is the desire from your heart. This desire to share the gospel to the foreigners. Don't be discouraged. God will work, because God's word will never, never return in vain. Let's pray.